What's going on, everybody? Spencer McDuffie here. I'd like to take a moment and thank you for listening to my new podcast. Podcast is so new, I haven't even come up with a name for the podcast yet. But I've wanted to have a podcast since, you know, mid-2018. Played with the idea a little bit, but never actually got around to doing it very well. I actually recorded a couple episodes and never really figured out how to, you know, do it, or I don't know. I struggled with it. Wasn't real happy with the way that it came out, but I'm back on now. And today I'd like to talk to everyone a little bit about why I think that everyone, you know, should consider getting into real estate. Now, obviously, when I say that, people are looking at me like, surely everybody doesn't need to get into real estate. Well, obviously, you know, I can see your reasoning there, but I've got some reasoning of my own. Okay, so before I was in real estate, I was an accountant. I went to school, you know, I went to Tarleton State University. Shout out to the purple poo out there at Tarleton State University. Went there, was a business major, you know, did really well in school. And then I left school and, you know, I struggled to find a job. Surprisingly, you know, I left school with like a 3.86 GPA, you know, graduated with cum laude honors, got a 4.0 GPA, you know, I think 9 out of 13 semesters that I was in college or something like that. I was a very good student, and I did not expect to be, you know, struggling to get a job, but, you know, sure enough, I struggled to get a job. Anyways, I fell into accounting. Someone in my network, you know, was an accountant, and, you know, she had a kind of like a mentor, a family member who was a very high level of accountant, you know, VP of finance type of a thing, controller, that type of deal, very high level. And she knew that I was struggling to get a job. So she actually offered me a job in billing, which is an accounting role for an architecture company. So that's kind of where my career took off. You know, I was doing billing. And I was making 40 grand a year, thinking I was just doing pretty good, you know, moved out of mom's house, got my first apartment there in Dallas, was living the life, you know, partying all the time, having a great time. You know, obviously I was ambitious and hungry for growth, you know, so I was always looking for opportunities. Within about 6 months of working in accounting, you know, I decided, shoot, I can crush this accounting game, you know. But at the time, I actually didn't have an accounting degree, so I decided to go to UTD, and which is the University of Texas at Dallas, and enroll in the Master's of Accounting program. Got into the program, again, did very well in school, but this time I didn't finish. I decided to quit that program after about, you know, 2.5 years or so of being enrolled in the master's program. I decided, you know, that wasn't the program for me. I loved accounting. I especially loved tax accounting, and I loved to learn about real estate. And for me, real estate was one of those underlying things that was always kind of in my head. You know, even while I was at Tarleton, you know, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It blew me away. That was the book that even caused me to change my major to business, because prior to that, I was in agriculture, believe it or not. Read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, decided, you know, I want to be an investor. But, you know, if you've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know that there's a lot of conceptual ideas that are fantastic in that book. But as far as meat and potatoes and, you know, this is how you get it done, this is your step-by-step, 1, 2, 3, the book really doesn't offer much in that. You know, it gets you very hyped up, and it lets you know, hey, you know, being an investor or a business owner is something that's very important. That's something that I want to do. But, you know, as far as what that actually meant, you know, I didn't know. So to me, I decided, you know what, the book talked a lot about accounting. So, hey, you know, I'm working in accounting. Let me go ahead and be an accountant. I'll learn how to read financial statements and prepare financial statements, and I'll be, you know, the greatest investor ever. So that's what I did. But like I said, I eventually decided to drop out of the program. I got a taste of the accounting world for, like I said, probably about 4 years I worked in accounting. After dealing with month end over and over and over, you know, working 50-hour weeks consistently and only getting paid at max 50 grand a year, you know, I just decided that it wasn't for me. I decided that I had the talent and the skill set to do something better and to make more money. I personally, you know, some people say that I'm conceited, But, you know, I feel like I'm the type of guy that should be making, you know, six figures a year minimum. And the fact that I'm 4 years into my career working hard, you know, as an accountant and only making 50K or less, believe it or not, you know, I just decided that I was wasting my potential and that there had to be a better way. So like so many people do, you know, I hopped on Google trying to figure out ways to make more money. There was a time where, you know, I was living in my own little apartment. I was, you know, feeling like I was killing it. And I went out and bought a TV because I moved into my apartment and I didn't have a TV. So I went out and I bought myself a smart TV. And then about 3 days later, you know, I realized that, hey, I need to return this TV. And really, the TV was only about, you know, what, $250 maybe. But, you know, I'm looking at my Mint budgeting app and things like that, trying to stay on top of it. And I realized I just didn't have the money. And that right there was actually a pretty big turning point for me because, man, I'm crushing it. You know, like I got a job. I'm doing all of this stuff. I graduated. I did what people told me that I should do. And I can't even freaking afford to buy a $250 TV. I had to return the TV back to Walmart, get my money back. And it just pissed me off, man. It really did. It pissed me off. I felt like not only should I be making six figures, but at the damn minimum, I should be, you know, able to afford a $250 TV. And in my reality in that moment, it wasn't happening. So I did what so many people do, and I hopped on Google. You know, I wanted to figure out ways to make more money. What can I do? And, you know, obviously when you Google ways to make more money, lots and lots of things come up. But what I saw again was real estate. Real estate had popped into my mind, and I found myself on BiggerPockets.com. Listening to the Bigger Pockets podcast, reading articles. You know, I discovered house hacking and I started learning about analyzing deals. And I was just truly blown away by listening to these podcasts of people talking about real estate and investing in real estate. And it blew me away that, you know, there was people out there making, you know, passive income, you know, higher than what I'd ever made ever, you know, and I'm actively working for mine. When I started hearing stories of people making 10, 20 grand a month, you know, through rental investing and fix and flip and things like that. And I'm over here, you know, working my butt off to barely take home 3 grand a month. You know, that was a wake up call for me. And I said, shoot, man, I said when I read Rich Dad, I wanted to be an investor. And here I am again. I'm learning the tactical steps on how to be an investor. And, you know, I decided that it was time. So, you know, that's what I did. I started consuming everything that I possibly could about real estate investing. And that's what I decided that I wanted to do. So, you know, I went to Tampa, Florida, actually, and decided that I wanted to be an investor there. Looked for, you know, a house hacking opportunity. I was looking at buying a duplex or a quadplex, and I actually started putting in offers and things like that. But the Tampa market was very competitive, and finding a multifamily home was just, it was just extremely difficult. We kept getting beat out. And, you know, I started to get restless and I really wanted to do a deal. I really wanted to get this thing going and just do something. You know, the multifamily thing wasn't working out. And so, you know, I started expanding my search to include single family homes and start looking into a fix and flip rehab. You know, I never wanted to do fix and flip rehab at the gate. You know, to me, Bigger Pockets sold me on the idea that, you know, cash flow is king. So I was really, really concerned with, you know, trying to find a fantastic rental property, something that I could add to my portfolio, you know, make $100 a door a month and live for free. You know, that was kind of the idea that Bigger Pockets pushes a lot to newbies is house hacking. I was really excited about the idea, and that's what I decided I wanted to do. But like I said, it was very difficult to find a house hacking deal. It just was. The Tampa market was extremely hot. You know, and as far as that investor space goes, we just continue to get beat out. So I, you know, I said, whatever, I'm going to go ahead and do a deal anyway. I don't care. I'm going to do a single family fix and flip rehab. So I ended up finding a fix and flip rehab on the MLS. You know, I did everything wrong. I did absolutely everything wrong. Didn't know what I was doing at all, but I just knew that, you know, I needed to be taking action and I needed to be attempting to make money in real estate. So I bought my first house, you know, FHA, 3.5% down, and, you know, I started the rehab process. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have any funding lined up when we closed on the house and moved in. You know, I had no money. I had used all my money to purchase the house. Didn't know how I was going to finance this rehab. Really didn't have a very strong enter or exit plan. It was just a newbie, you know, being a scrub, trying to make something work. The house that I purchased was too expensive. I gave them list price, which was just a terrible idea. Luckily for me, you know, the list price that they offered, $180,000, you know, it didn't end up sticking. You know, I gave them $180,000 up front. I said, that's fine. Let's do it. I'm ready to do a deal. And the house actually didn't make appraisals. So thank God for the banks and their appraisal process, because I actually ended up getting the house for $150,000. I still purchased it for the appraised value. But at the same time, you know, the bank saved me $30,000 on that. And had I purchased that house at, you know, what I planned to do, there is absolutely no way that I would have broke even or made any money. I would have guaranteed lost money. And in that process, you know, it was what it was. Like I said, I didn't know what I was doing. So anyways, I got the house, you know, and I started the whole thing up. So, you know, I didn't have any money to do the rehab. So what I actually did was took out personal loans. I decided that personal loans, you know, was the only access to money that I had. I looked at doing, you know, lines of credit. I couldn't get approved on anything, you know, and the personal loan was really the only option. So that's the option that I took. So it was two personal loans. And I also believe it was two credit cards, 17% interest on the personal loans, installment loans, which was just absolutely terrible. And on top of that, you know, I was rocking with a couple 0% interest credit cards that helped me get it done. So I got the cash. I did the rehab. You know, long story short, I sold it. I learned a whole lot. I basically broke even. I say broke even, but we actually made a little bit of money. And I lived in the property for that entire time, you know, for free, and made a couple grand and realized, man, this is, you know, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. I need to scale up. So I sold that house, you know, successfully. You know, I had about $20,000-$25,000 in my pocket or something like that. You know, like I said, not a whole lot of that was profit, but it was money that came back to me. And I was really excited about that. So I moved back to Texas and I decided, you know what, I'm going to be a real estate agent. I'm going to go all the way in. And when I started the show off, I decided, you know, I said in the beginning, you know, everyone should get into real estate. And this is what I would like to get back to now. At the time, I decided that I wanted to be a real estate agent. And, you know, I just decided that I wanted to go all the way in. So I decided to quit my job in accounting, quit my full-time job that was offering me, you know, $50,000 a year. I hated the job. It was awful. I didn't like my boss. I didn't like the people that I worked with. Nobody was ambitious. Nobody shared the goals and the dreams that I had. I felt like a freaking desk jockey who just, you know, who was just working for the man. I was working for one of the world's largest home builders at the time. And I just felt freaking useless. I was getting nothing out of it. I knew I could do better. And, you know, that's the reason why I say that everybody should consider getting in real estate, because there's money to be made in real estate, guys. That's really what it comes down to. If you're somebody who wants to make money in real estate or make money at all, real estate is a fantastic opportunity for you. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a hustler, you know, making money in real estate, it's possible. So, you know, while you're sitting there at the W-2 job, trust me, I did the same thing. I understand the process. I understand why you do it. I understand how you do it, because I've done the same thing. I understand that very, very well. But like I said, there's money to be made in real estate. And I talk to so many people and they want to get in real estate. It's not even like I'm telling you to go become a stockbroker and people don't have any interest in stocks. I mean, most people that I talk to are interested in real estate in some way or another. Maybe they don't want to be agents, you know, but they are interested in real estate. You know, maybe they want to have a rental, or maybe they want to do a fix and flip. You know, whatever it is, I come across that a lot and people want to do it. So, you know, there's a few reasons why I say that everybody should consider real estate. Okay, number one is scale. You know, in a W-2 income job, you'll be lucky if you can work a part-time job. And I mean, you will be very, very lucky if you can work a part-time job while you're a full-time W-2 employee. There's no scalability. You're trading your time for money. You're doing it all day. And when you're trading time for money, everybody knows that there's a shortage of time. You only have so much time. There's only 24 hours a day. You know, when you're working 10 hours a day already, how much more are you going to work? There's no extra room. I mean, you got to sleep. You got to go to the gym. You got to do what you're trying to do. And you know, how can you do that if you're working all the time? So in the W-2 world, there's just a huge lack of scalability, and I think that's something special to be said about not only real estate but sales in general. You know, I can in real estate, comparatively, or I should say, you know, in contrast, in real estate, you can fill up your pipeline. There's no limit to the deals that you can do at a certain time. You can do 4 deals at once. You can do 10 deals at once. The only thing that limits you is your own knowledge and your own access to capital. If you've got those two things handled, there's absolutely nothing that will keep you, you know, from building up your pipeline and rocking multiple deals at once. So, you know, you put something like real estate sales or real estate investing, which is also a type of sales, in my opinion, and you line it up and you compare it to the W-2 income world. You know, W-2, there's no scalability. In real estate, there's massive amounts of scalability. You know, you can do 10 deals at once. And let's just think about that, guys. Let's say, you know, I'm a new agent, so why not use my numbers? You know, right now I've got about 8 listings, you know, something like that. Coming right out the gate, I've got about 8 listings. My first listing just went under contract. It's scheduled to close in less than 30 days. And, you know, but the point I'm trying to make is with 8 listings, let's say you make, you know, $4,000 a month, or let's say you make $4,000 commission on each one of these listings. That's 8 times 4. That's $32,000. Right? That's not bad money at all. And if you can continuously, you know, close 8 deals a month, you're making $30,000 a month. I mean, come on, there's not a W-2 job out there that's going to offer you that as a 25-year-old guy, you know, trying to get ahead in life. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, going back to my point, I believe that everybody should be in sales. I believe that everyone should be in real estate because you've got scalability that pretty much no other profession, you know, can offer. And if you're the type of person who's W-2, you know, pays you $150,000 or $300,000, then hey, I'm all for that. I totally get that. And if I had that opportunity, I would probably continue to work in that. But I would also continue to be in real estate because real estate, in my opinion, is totally scalable, and it offers, you know, an ability to reach long-term wealth. So that's really what it is for me, guys. I hope that you're hearing me and you're understanding. I'm not going to go into a million different reasons as to why you should get in real estate. To me, there's one simple reason as to why you should get in real estate. Real estate is scalable. You can do more deals than one at a time. You can have a pipeline that's full, and you can make more money at one time than you can in pretty much any other profession. So that's what it is for me. You know, in real estate, you're not trading time for money. You're trading value for money. If you can bring people value, then you can get paid a lot. And I listen to a lot of podcasts, and something that I've heard, I think it's Grant Cardone that says it, you know, is the market is not going to pay you what you're worth ever. It's either going to underpay you or it's going to overpay you. And when you're working W-2, you're being underpaid. And when you get in real estate and you're successful, you'll be massively overpaid. And I think that there's something truly special to think about that. I think there's something very truly special in that statement that shows, hey, if you're looking to get paid, you know, the W-2 thing is just not, it's just not good. It's a terrible system. You know, think about all the people who work W-2. You know, one of the other things that I like to always tell people is, you know, take a look at the path ahead of you. Look at your boss. If you're an accountant, look at the controller and ask yourself, do you want to live the life that controller lives, working on Saturday, getting all upset about the quarterly numbers and the financial statements and things like that? Is that what you want? Showing up at 7 a.m. just to be irritated and upset all day? That's not what I want. And I know that pretty much everyone's parents, you know, went through this whole thing. The W-2 grind. You know, everybody went through this. Everybody's gone through this. You don't have to look far to find somebody who spent their career working for the man. It's very easy to see people who work for the man. And what do you get out of it? That's the question, is what do you get out of it when you work for the man? Maybe real estate's not the best thing, but I think it's very clear to say that the W-2 income thing is not the way. You know, you're working for $50,000 a year, you get your 401k match, you got a bucket of money that you can't even access, you can't even use without being penalized, and you work until you're 65, you retire or you get fired, you're not in control of your life whatsoever. You know, the boss is in control of you. You don't control when you get promotions. You don't control when you make more money. The boss controls that. You know, the only industry that might allow you to do something like that is if you're rocking in sales in the corporate world, and maybe that's a different discussion. But again, if you're rocking sales in the corporate world, you know, maybe you're W-2, maybe you're not. But generally, there's bonus structures and things like that. So the working for a salary, that's not the win, guys. That's not the win. If you're wanting to be successful in life, and I'll take it a step back from real estate, the number one thing that you can do is figure out how to stop trading time for money. Real estate is a fantastic vehicle because it does not require time for money. It requires value for money. If you can bring someone value, then you can make massive amounts of money. And that's what led me to real estate. I feel like I've got tons of value to offer to the world. And I feel like so many other people do too. And I get it. You know, it may be something that's scared. You know, you may be scared about quitting your W-2 job. Hey, I totally understand that. And if it's something that you're considering doing, I'd be more than happy to, you know, work through some of those details with you to figure out, you know, better ways for you to get into this and to alleviate some of that fear. But, you know, if you're just sitting around thinking that the W-2 income is just the best thing since sliced bread, man, you got to open your eyes, because W-2 is not the best thing since sliced bread. It is... It's no good at all. You know, it's no good at all. So I hope that you found that valuable. I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. This has been episode number one of the Spencer McDuffie Show, or whatever it is that I'm going to call it. I don't know what I'm going to call it. But just my thoughts, a little bit of story about me and what I believe, you know, is going on in the world and you know, the opportunities that are out there. Right now I'm living this, you know, right now I'm living this. I'm a newer agent. You know, I've been licensed for less than 30 days. I'm a newer investor. You know, I've done about four deals now. I got about four deals under my belt as an investor, all rehabs. And, you know, I just want to share that opportunity with people and let people know that there's money to be made in there. The opportunities are there. The information is there. We don't live in a world of where information is hard to get to anymore. We live in the information age. So, you know, spend some time thinking about what you can do to get out of that W-2 grind and figure out if you're living your life to your full potential, because that's really what it comes down to. You know, I'm trying to live my life to my full potential. That's why I got in real estate, because I get to decide what my potential is and whether or not I'm meeting it. When I'm working in accounting, I don't get to decide what my potential is. They don't even care about what my potential is. All they care about is, do I know debits and credits and can I show up on time? That's not my potential. My potential is not limited to just showing up on time. But anyways, I'm ranting, and I wanted to go ahead and wrap this up. So I appreciate everyone listening. Hopefully you found some value in that. If you want to get in contact with me to discuss real estate, definitely feel free to do so. You can reach me on Facebook, Spencer McDuffie, EXP Realty on Facebook, or you can, you know, go to my website, SpencerMcDuffie.com, SpencerMcDuffie.EXPRealty.com. I'm easy to find, guys. If you Google Spencer McDuffie Real Estate, you will find me, I promise you. So anyways, I hope everybody's enjoyed that, and I will reconnect with you guys soon. Peace.